Now I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and we're going to read some verses from verse 1 of that chapter. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew chapter 2, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word again, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and there was and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his word to our hearts. Can we unite in a wee word of prayer again, please? Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee. We thank thee for what has been done and said today already. And we thank thee we've been able to rejoice around thy word. And we'd ask thee in the last few minutes now that thou wouldst come and write thy word upon every heart, and that it might be of blessing, even salvation blessing, as thy word is proclaimed in this day. Come, our God, shut us in with thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, boys and girls, we want to talk about the wise men who came to worship Jesus. Now, the story about the wise men, there's a lot of mystery about it, really, because it presents us a number of questions that we can't answer. Where did they come from? We don't know. How many of them were? We aren't sure. How did they know to follow the star? We're not told. And there are all sorts of questions that we don't know about these wise men who came to worship Jesus. Now, tradition has put in a lot of things in, because they seem to be able to tell us. Tradition really in the Middle Ages had its heyday, and they added all sorts of things. They say that there were three wise men. You can see even the story here today, it presents us with three wise men. It says that they came on camels, and they came in the night time with their silhouettes against the palm trees in the desert, and we're told that they represented the three families of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so one of them is traditionally a black man, and they say he came from Ethiopia, and they say that their names were Balthazar, Melchior, and the Casper. And we have all these details. Indeed, they say that they were baptized by Thomas, and that their bodies were preserved in Constantinople, and they even say that a king by the name, or a bishop by the name of Bishop Reynold of Cologne, found their bodies, and when he dug up their skulls, he was able to tell immediately that this was the three wise men, because they still had their eyes, and their eyes were towards Bethlehem. Well, boys and girls, we don't believe all of those things, but what we do believe is what we find in the Bible. Now, the Bible tells us some things about these men, and we want to think about these things that we either are told directly in the Bible, or we can surmise from what the Bible says to us that we don't have to speculate about. And there are a number of things that we can say about these men and the wonderful blessing that they had. And I want you to think about the announcement made to them here. We read that they saw a star in the east. And this star was a wonderful star. And it was the forerunner, or it was the message that a king was born. Now, we're told that in the Babylonian and the Persian empires, that there were, specifically the Babylonians, had a way of studying the stars. And somehow these men were able to discern that the stars, or this star, was speaking about the Messiah who would come. Now, a lot of scholars would say, and this is entering into speculation again, so it's a little bit of speculation, but you know that Daniel, you remember the prophet Daniel? Daniel, he was amongst the Babylonians. And there are a lot of people that say, well, Daniel's a man who kept his faith, and that he passed on a good degree of his faith to some of the Babylonians, and that they would have had an understanding about the scriptures, about the prophecies, and perhaps they would have known that in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, it says, I shall see him but not now, I shall behold him but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And I think that it is very possible that these men not only had a knowledge of stars or whatever, but that they had a knowledge of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But boys and girls, I want you to think about the grace of this revelation, that God would speak to these men away out far, Gentile men, away out in the wilds, not from the house of Israel, but from among the Gentile nations, that he should give them the privilege of hearing the announcement of the one who was to be the king of the Jews. What grace there was. And you think of the grace that we're able to hear the same message today. And then the glory of the revelation that a king was born, the Son of God was come. And that's a wonderful and a glorious message, that Christ is born, and he's born for the purpose of being our Savior and being our Redeemer. Not only do we think about the announcement that was made to them, but the adversity that was endured by them, because they had to make a long journey. We think of how they had to come from Mesopotamia or Babylon or wherever they came from, but they had to make their way probably across desert lands, across into the land of Judea, into Judah, and into the land where Bethlehem was. And we think of the long journey that they had to make. You know, if we're going to come to the Savior, there's a long journey that we have to make out of our sins. You know, it says about sinners in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. We're far off in our sin because we're away from him. We have transgressed against him. And we need to make the journey to Christ. We're not nigh him now. We're not in his presence now. We can't be in his presence because of our sin. But we can make the journey in faith today. Not a physical journey. You don't have to go a long way. You can come here, but in your heart you need to make the journey and come and find the Lord Jesus as your Savior. We think about the difficulty of the journey, the Arabian desert, and we're told in the book of Ezra how it took them a number of months, 5 months, 4 or 5 months to make that journey. So it was a long journey that they had to make. And there was the struggle. They had to make provision for the water that they hadn't got in the desert. They had to endure the heat of the sun and all. And there was the difficulty. And you know, many people find it difficult to come to Christ. It's not easy. Now, it's the easiest thing in the world, because all you have to do is ask the Lord Jesus to take your sins away. All you have to do is ask him to pardon you. But so many people find the difficulty because it's a struggle, because the devil is struggling against you, and your sin and the flesh are struggling against you, and it's a struggle to get to Christ. And maybe there's been a struggle in your heart. Maybe the Sunday school teacher has spoken to you, the children's meeting worker has spoken to you, and you know that you need to get right with God, and yet you've struggled with it somehow. This is the greatest gift that you could receive, boys and girls. And yet there's that struggle that goes on within your heart. And the old flesh struggles against coming to Christ and receiving the greatest gift. And these men, really on their journey, really illustrate that struggle that there is in getting to Christ. And when we think about the approach that was taken by them, we read that they came to Jerusalem. And we think about the calculation that they made, because they thought, well, if this is the king of the Jews, he'll be born in the palace. And so they thought, we'll go to the palace and we'll inquire where the king is. Now, they'd forgot about following the star. They had left following the star, and as soon as they left following the star, they thought, this is where the king will be. And they thought in their own minds. And you know, that's a fault, boys and girls, when we stop following the Lord's star. What's the Lord's star? It's his word. It's the Bible. When we start following our own notions, that's where we go wrong. And the wise men, they thought, well, we'll stop following the star. We'll go into Jerusalem. That's where the king will be. He'll be in the palace. And they went into the palace and they said to the king, King Herod, they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And by their question, it is evident that they had an interest in finding the Savior. I wonder, do you? I wonder if you've ever asked the question, boys and girls, where is Christ for me? And they came with this question upon their heart. Where is he? Oh, that you might find him today. They weren't looking for something magnificent, but they were looking for a person. They were looking for the Savior. Are you looking for the Savior today? Oh, dear friend, that you might come to him. Now, isn't it noticeable that it's only these wise men, however many there were, there are three in this, but however many there were, it is only them. Of course, the shepherds maybe as well. We'd say the shepherds representing the Jews. But among all the people, and the Pharisees and the scribes, there weren't too many who were looking for the Savior. And you know, if you're going to look for the Savior, you'll always be in the minority. There won't be many who are looking for the Savior. There won't be many who are seeking out the Savior. And if the question is in your heart today, where is he, that I might find him? If that question is in your heart today, well, you'll always be in a minority. You know, the preacher would say sometimes, as in the words of the Lamentation, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. So many just pass by the Savior. So few ask, where is he that I might find him? But these men were wise men. They sought where he was. And we read that they, not only the calculation they made of going to the palace, but the confusion they had because they went to this evil king. And he was an evil king. He was. Have you ever met a kind of person that's always thinking that people are getting at them? Always thinking people are talking behind their backs. Well, that's the kind of person Herod was. But it was even worse than that, boys and girls, because in doing that, he had the power to kill people. Indeed, he did kill people. He killed a number of his wives. He put the high priest to death. He drowned the high priest. He killed several of his uncles and several of his cousins. He was a murderer. And yet these men were coming to this man to look for the king of the Jews. They'd gone very badly wrong. And yet, boys and girls, so many people in this world are looking to the authorities of the world and to the people who have power in this world to direct them what way they should live their lives or where they should go or where they can find peace, but they don't find it there. Just like these wise men didn't find what they wanted in King Herod. And we think about the confession that they made. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And you know, here they were, and they expressed their belief. They knew what they were looking for. They were looking for the one who is born King of the Jews. Who is the King of the Jews? The Messiah. The Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was to come. And so there was a belief there. That's why I think that it is right that somehow along the line they had heard the word of God, because they knew what they were looking for, the King of the Jews. Now, they had a belief in some degree, but they were going a little bit, they were a little bit confused, as we say, but they had a belief. Now, boys and girls, if you've been told in Sunday school about the Lord Jesus, about the Messiah, I hope that in some degree and measure you have a belief today. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that he came to die on the cross. And you believe all these things. Just like these men, they had a belief. They were looking for the King of the Jews, but they just hadn't come to trust him yet. And they had a little bit of confusion about him. And maybe you're in the same place today. You know about the Savior. You know who he is. You know about him. But maybe somehow in your heart, you're still a little bit confused today. Well, boys and girls, it's a wonderful thing what you've been taught. It's a wonderful thing what you understand. But you need to not only understand with your mind, but you need to accept him into your heart today. Now, boys and girls, have you ever accepted him into your heart? Have you ever come to the Savior? Not only do we read about the confession they made, but the commentary they heard. Because Herod sent away the scribes and the Pharisees here, these men, and they were to search in the scriptures where the King of the Jews, the Messiah, would be born. And these men, the Pharisees, were experts in the Word of God, and they went away and they looked in the prophecy of Micah, and they came back with the answer in Bethlehem. Now they were right. They came to the Word of God, and they knew by the Word of God where they should go. Where do you go to find where you should go to find the Savior? Into the Word of God. It's in the Bible. When anybody comes and tells you anything that's not in the Bible, don't listen to them. Always check what they tell you by the word of God. But we think of how they had the wonderful privilege, and boys and girls, you have the wonderful privilege of day or week by week coming and hearing the word of God. And here is the old scroll here in the Hebrew writing, and they saw in Bethlehem, that's where the King of the Jews will be born. And they came and reported to Herod what they had heard. And Herod conspires when he hears this. He asks, "Where is he that should be born King of the Jews?" But he's not interested in Christ. What he's interested in doing is putting the Lord Jesus Christ to death. And he brings in the wise men and he says, "When you hear or when you find this king, tell me where he is that I may come and worship him." He was telling lies. He wanted to put the Lord to death. So many people have some kind of interest in the Savior, but only that they might do despite to him. So the wise men went out again. They had heard from the Word of God, but now they follow this special star, and the special star brings them into the city of Bethlehem and brings them to the house where the Lord Jesus was. And we read that when they come in to where the Lord Jesus is, we read about the adoration that is made by them. They fall down and worship him. They have found him. Who's the him? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say that they fall down and worship them. It speaks about Mary and Joseph and the young child, but they fall down and worship him. Because he's the Savior. He's the only one that can save you. And we think of how John says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And we think about the adornments provided by them, because they come with their gifts. First of all, gold. And gold speaks of the kingship. That's the gift that you give to a king. It's the gift of kingship. And the Bible says, he shall be great, of the Lord Jesus. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He is the king. He is the one who will be king and is king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These men bowed down to worship him as king. They bowed the knee before him. They said, he's our king. Because sometimes these men are known as kings. Whether they were kings or not is another thing. But they were certainly men of high distinction. But they bowed before him as king. Now, all you've got to do, boys and girls, is bow your knee before him as king. And ask him to be your Lord and your king and your Savior. And that's a wonderful gift that you can bring to the Savior today. As it were, the gift of gold. Bow before him and make him your king. Then there was a second gift, frankincense. And we think of the frankincense that reminds us of the embalming of the Savior and the one who would, this wonderful perfume of frankincense. It was taken from the bushes of southern Arabia and India, and it comprised the ingredients of holy oil. And the priests and all would be anointed with holy oil, with a frankincense. And you think of how this wonderful perfume was made here and how it came. And it speaks of the anointing of the Savior. It is gone now. We get back. There we are. The frankincense. And we think of how the Lord Jesus is priest and high priest. He came to be our Savior on the cross. And then the third gift was myrrh. And myrrh speaks of the death of the Savior. And it was used for the embalming of bodies. And here, right at the very birth of the Savior, is the reason why he came, to be the sacrifice, to die on the cross, and to be our Redeemer, and to be our Savior. And you think of these gifts that were brought, speaking of his kingship, speaking of his anointing as our great high priest, speaking of his death on the cross. Those wonderful gifts that were brought to them. Now, Herod wanted them to go and speak to him and tell him where the Lord would be born. But we read that the wise men got a message from God. Go back another way. Go back another way. You see, when they had met the Savior, their lives were directed another way. And you know, if you were to find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, your life would go another way. At the moment, you're going down the road that leads to a lost eternity. But when you bow the knee to the Savior and come to the Christ of God, then God directs your life another way. And you can have another way that leads to glory and leads to home. Boys and girls, will you come to the Savior today, and let the wise men come to the Christ of God and find him as your Savior. Let's just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee today. And our God, we thank thee that these wise men were directed another way. When they had met the Savior, their lives were directed another way. And our God, we thank thee that men and women can be directed another way. Lord, they can become new creatures in Christ. And we thank thee, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so, gracious God, write thy word upon hearts today, and help us to glorify and worship thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.